This is Aaron with PowerPopaholic.com, and today we're talking to Todd Giglio of The Turn Back. How are you doing today, Todd?
I'm very good. I apologize to all the audience if you hear any background noise. You have to be walking in New York City as we speak.
That's all right. Todd, let me ask you, what came first, the album or the film?
Well, actually, some of the music from the album actually inspired the film. So I would say that the song Nowhere actually contributed to the idea of the film in the first place. And then once the film idea was spawned, that actually caused the rest of the band to create music for the rest of the soundtrack. So kind of like a seesaw, one went up, the other went down, and when that went up, the other went down. So they both kind of like worked together, but initially it was the music that inspired the film.
Okay, great. Can you tell me a little bit about how your experience in your older band, 6 Mile Hill, you know, sort of fed the story behind the film a little bit?
Yeah, well, actually, when I started doing music, I was an actor first in the early 90s. And I went by Kenny Sherman, who was in a band already called Domestic Oblivion, kind of showed me some music. I was in a film with Debbie Harry and Adam Ant that I had to play bass in the film. I was one of the main characters in a rock band in the film. He kind of showed me how to play it. I always had an interest in music anyway. So he showed me how to play the bass parts. But on the side, he kind of showed me some guitar parts. There's some songs I really enjoyed, Elvis Presley, etc. And that really, like, motivated. Once I played my first 3-4 song, I was like, holy shit. This song, and it's probably about, I'm trying if I offend anybody out there, but I was like, this is the song, and I'm like, wow, you can actually play this song with guitar, sing along with it, and it sounds really good. And he kind of got me into the whole thing, but as far as doing music, it was more of an alternative to trying to act, which is a lot more of a difficult time situation for me, because the actor, you only work if someone hires you, but as a musician, you're always working because you're doing your own thing. So the music bug kicked in. And for the film, I guess the struggle of trying to get accepted as a musician really was the key part of the film. The fact that you can be a musician and do your own thing, but you're really only a musician if you're somebody else listening to you. So that was really kind of intrigued the whole idea of doing the film with two musicians. Showing it. Because again, as actors, it doesn't matter if one person quits, but the musician is the bond. And if one separates, then the other one falls through.
Well, that kind of leads me into my next question. How did you and Kenny Sherman end up meeting?
Oh, ironically, Chris was a college friend of mine, I think, and we were in the same department together in college for acting. One of his best friends from high school, Jim Filato, was in a band called Domestic Oblivion with Kenny. And that's how I met Kenny, is his Christmas best friend in high school. And of course, we hit it off well because I was good friends with Jim as well as Chris. And meeting Kenny, we just automatically had a connection. Even though I wasn't doing music, I mean, this thing that would have been in 1991. But I didn't really start doing music until 95. So I automatically hit it off with Kenny. Because of Jimmy. And I think one of my first experiences moving to New York City is going out to Long Island with Chris, seeing Jimmy and Kenny and his current band. I think they were called the Rebel Airs at the time, to see them play perform in Long Island, which was amazing to us. Because I always had an interest in music, but seeing a live band that I could talk to the person who was in the band was fascinating. So that's how I met Kenny. And of course, again, we just hit it off.
And then the Turn Back, you know, came into being from that.
Yeah, I've evolved into that. Because initially, I had no skills to be a musician, even though I wanted to be one. I couldn't call myself a musician, but I didn't know how to play guitar. I didn't know how to write songs. That didn't really come about until, actually, Chris and I, touring around in Manhattan, we were roommates in Hell's Kitchen from 92 on. I probably say around 94. Kenny had shown me how to play a few chords, and of course, once that happened,
I think you got the bug, and it just hooked on.
I got the bug, and even Barry, who's a craft music drummer, Barry Nagel, he's a skilled trained musician. So sometimes when I play, I write a song, and I use a lot of pop chords, not standard chords. I use a lot of minor, diminished, whatever. But he'll ask me what chord is that, and I'm like, I don't know, this. You tell me what chord I'm playing. I have no idea what I'm playing right now. But this is the chord that it sounds right. The more of a ear player than I am a field player, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Tell me about, you had a really good experience with Jack Nicholson. Can you tell me that story again?
I certainly can. There was a period at the end of my acting bug where, aside from being an actor, the music bug had started catching on. I really wanted to be a musician. So I was growing my hair long. I really didn't give a shit about acting anymore. It was more like the thing I still had my headshots out there, but I didn't really care about it. And ironically, once that happened, I started getting more work. But I didn't care anymore. There's a few things I'd show up on set to some people. I didn't give a shit if they were here or not. I just kind of like hang out in the background, and I would just get paid regardless. But the directors would come up and say, no, I want him here. I want him to play guitar and just be an accessory, and that started happening. But I didn't really care if I made it or not. So I was set to do a test, and they asked me, do you want to play? Yeah, I play guitar. So they said, well, bring a guitar, we'll pay extra because you have a skill. I'm like, great, I'm making, now instead of $100, I'm making $115. Awesome. So I was on set, the only thing they requested was me. If you play in the scene, so eventually I have to do movies, I think we got cut. It was like, if you're playing a song, you can't play it, or you got to play an original, or play something that's not recognizable. Like, okay, no problem. I've been working on this song anyway. So I was on set at Belducci's, outside of Belducci's, down in the village. And I really was working on this song. I didn't know when they were yelling cut or whatever. I just kept playing, but I had the song idea in my head.
Right.
I kept playing it, and they yelled, cut, they're doing a set change, or a scene, or whatever they're going to do, and I kept playing it. I was like, wow, it was really going anywhere. I didn't want to stop. I kept playing. In the process of playing the song, which was someone else's, Jack Nicholson came up to me, and he looked at me as I was playing, because apparently he's a musician as well, and he liked what I was playing. So I kind of stopped. I didn't know, I don't want to interact with Mark, cover that on set.
Right.
And I stopped playing. And he looked at me, put his hands out, and gave me old Jack Nicholson head tilt eyebrow, and said, continue. So I kept playing. And I'm like, okay. So I kept playing the song, and he smiled, put his sunglasses down. He folded his chair over to me. He had a director's chair. He told me next to me. Matthew's family come over. Now this is in between sections. And so I kept playing the song. It found a cat there and listening. And across the street, I could see the snapshots of all the photographers taking pictures. And so I kept doing my thing. And I liked where the song was going.
Right.
And then it was kind of funny because then after that, I didn't think twice about it. But I had some photographers come to me and say, who are you? I'm like, what do you mean, who am I? I'm like, well, you're somebody because Jack was. You sit next to you while you're playing. I'm like, well, no, I'm not anybody. I'm just playing a song. And it was so funny to say, one guy goes, oh, cool. Well, can I play with your guitar? I was like, sure, if you want me to play with your camera. And of course, I was like, oh. I'm like, well, there you go. That's your answer. It's like, I'm just a musician who's trying to figure out the song. Ironically, that song turned out to be someone else's, which has two versions of it. One in the film, which is just an idea. The same exact idea that I was working on back with Jack Nicholson in 95, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I liked the song idea so much, and I really wanted to put it in the album, but I didn't like what was going, I was trying to change chords for roughly 10 years, or 7 years, same exact chords. And I told Shane, it's like, I don't like where it's going. But I want this song on the album. So what I did is, I reworked it. Completely changed up the idea of the song and gave it a whole different direction. When I played that new idea to Kenny, he heard it like, dude, this new song, this is where it has to go.
And that song became?
Someone else's.
All right.
I did a music video for it back in March or February of 2011. I did a video for it, shot with a flip cam. Great concept. It was supposed to just like a field appearance on the Ed Sullivan show. We had a guy just like Ed Sullivan. So we created a whole entire show for him.
Great.
Song with it. It has a great vibe from like 67-ish. You know, and very happy with the way the song turned out. But ironically, the first person who ever heard that song was Zach Nicholson.
Wow, excellent. Well, you just finished IPO last week. I was thrilled to see you guys there and everything. What's next for the Turnback at this point?
Well, because of the IPO show, we got contacted by a promoter who really, you know, she wasn't there at the show, but someone from local Tucson was there and really liked the vibe of the band. So she contacted us and wanted to book us for the Upper East Side Music Festival, which was in April, March.
All right.
And she heard, you know, heard some of the songs and videos. She really liked her sound. This guy's got a great sound. But now she wants to book us for a few other clubs for the festival, make sure we saw a crowd, which of course is always the big dilemma for every music band there is out there. Who can you bring in? So she wants to book us, which we're looking at different options. She gave us several different shows we can play at. I think we're settling on a place called The End,
mm-hmm.
in Brooklyn.
Okay.
But apparently the venue is got the top of the line, back line, with great acoustics, which means for our style of music, being that we're a heavy vocal band, that we'll be able to get the kind of engineering we need for this kind of act, especially being an unknown pop. But again, it always comes down to who can you bring in. So if we bring in a good enough crowd, then they'll book us for, without a doubt, for the Upper East Side Festival, which is a contest. But I'm up all for competition. I don't follow competition at all.
Well, that's good.
I'll say that's the biggest thing.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Todd, so much for your time. And it was great talking with you. And I hope to see you in venues in the near future.
Without a doubt. And we also have a show coming up at the Bitter End, which I will definitely let you know when that's going to happen.
All right, so, great.
Again, it's the same kind of thing. We need to have a good crowd there. Well, no, we'll rock it. No doubt about that.
All right, cool. All right, thanks so much, Todd Gigley of the Turnback. Thanks so much,
thanks
Todd.
Thanks so much, Aaron. You have a great time.
You too. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.